Okay. Why don't you introduce yourself and tell me your name and when you were born and where you're from?
My name is Gary Dameron, and I was born on December the 20th of 1976, and I'm from Logan, West Virginia.
How did you first become interested in wrestling?
When I was a young kid, it was kind of one of those things where you're flicking through the channels and you see all this stuff going on that looks, you know, you see these big characters on TV, and that kind of got me hooked. And then, of course, back in the 80s, Hulk Hogan had a cartoon on Saturday morning, and I was a big Saturday morning cartoon watcher. So I would always watch the Hulk Hogan. So I got to know the characters from his cartoon. So it kind of worked out like that, too.
And what? Tell me about your journey to become a wrestling promoter, going from a kid who was a fan to promoting and producing shows.
I actually started out in 1995 promoting Southern Gospel music. And I did that for about 9 years. And again, I was a big fan of Southern Gospel when I was a kid growing up in church and stuff. I loved the music, still to this day do. And then Southern Gospel kind of got to where it just wasn't, you know, as popular as what it used to be, because, you know, more people now listen to more contemporary music, and so that kind of faded away. And so I got a hold of, I actually was watching an episode of TBN, the Christian Broadcasting Network, Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man. He's a preacher now. And he was in there talking about how he was doing appearances, and I thought, well, how cool would it be to bring him in for something, you know, somebody that I grew up watching on TV. And so I brought him in for one of the gospel shows, and he was telling me about, you know, oh, you know, a lot of the old wrestlers from the day, you know, does appearances and does shows. And I was like, well, I'm familiar with promoting, you know, this, you know, so how different can it be, since really there's not much difference. But yeah, started it that way.
So what are the similarities between promoting Southern Gospel and wrestling?
Well, you're having to book a building. You have to book, of course, in gospel, you just book the bands and the building, and you advertise, and you know, go out and you promote, hang posters and stuff. But in wrestling, you, of course, have to book a ring, and you have to book all the different wrestlers. You have to book referees. You have to book ring announcers. I mean, there's a lot more in wrestling, but, you know, the similarities are still there, you know.
Is the audience the same?
You know, there are some people that that used to come to some of the gospel shows that do come to wrestling. You know, and what we try to present a family-oriented. You know, a lot of these wrestling shows that you see on Facebook and the internet and stuff today, it's, you know, a lot of it's, you know, a lot of garbage. And we try to keep ours a clean show and a family-oriented where you can bring the kids, you know.
So do you have rules for the wrestlers, like they're not allowed to curse, that sort of thing?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we have a sign hanging up in our locker room that says, you know, no cussing, no, you know, doing this and that, no doing anything vulgar, you know, no, you know, there's certain guidelines they have to go by with that.
I read in Zach Harold's piece that you were initially thinking about doing a Christian wrestling promotion. Could you tell me what you were thinking for that and why you kind of went this direction?
We were going to do, the very first show I ever did was supposed to have been a gospel and like a Christian-based show is what I meant. And we just kind of got to thinking. We was like, well, we've got all these legends here, you know, and people may get confused if they, you know, like, well, we're going to go this direction with it. Well, we'll go this direction. He said, well, we'll just, and I said, yeah, let's just make it a regular show and, you know, kind of do it that way. So, you know, we actually did a show in a church once up in Cerrito, West Virginia. And I forget the name of the church, but we actually did a Christian show there once. And we had Ivan Koloff, who was a wrestling legend. Had him come in. He's a Christian now, a minister, which now he's deceased, but he came in and did a ministry. You know, he got up and spoke, and it was a nice, it was a cool thing.
It's So are there a lot of wrestling legends who have become ministers and kind of gone on that circuit?
There's a few. Nikita Koloff, Ted DiBiase, Tatanka, Tully Blanchard, you know, some of those guys, they're now in the ministry. So, you know, it's kind of a cool thing to, you know, get to see them doing what they're doing. And then, you know, they're still, you know, big wrestling stars. So.
And did the church show go over well? I sort of am trying to envision what that was like.
It did go over okay. Of course, you know, a lot of the basic fans, I don't think, were there. It was more of the church people that belonged to that church. But it was, you know, it turned out okay. It was something different. You know, it was something that you'd have to appreciate to be able to, you know, because after the matches, he got up and he spoke. And, you know, so it was a cool thing. I thought it was very cool.
Aside from being a family-oriented show, how else would you describe the vibe of ASW and what you try to present?
One thing that I'm always told is that the fans that come to our shows, they feel like they're a part of our family. You know, we not just me, but the wrestlers too. We try to connect with people, like through social media. You know, if they send us a message, we always, you know, always, and I treat each person, as a matter of fact, at my shows, I stand here at the door while people are coming in, and I greet every person, because you want them to feel welcomed, and you want them to feel like, hey, you know, I'm appreciated for going to that, and, you know, when I'm not there, they realize I'm not there, and I, you know, I send a lot of messages out to people, like, hey, where were you last time, or, you know. So I think that helps too, and but that's the one thing that I think is a great compliment is people say, well, you know, we come to your show and we have a good time, but we feel like we're a part of your family, and I think that's a good, great thing.
And what's the audience like? The numbers and how old they are, men, women, are they local? That's,
you know, it varies. The ages are just everywhere on the chart. We have old people, we have young people, we have young kids, boys, girls, women, men, you know, it's just all across the board. But that's what makes wrestling so cool, is it's not just focused on one certain, you know, sex or whatever. It can be for anybody, and it's a family fun type thing. So, because anybody can get into a wrestling match, you know.
Would you say they're mostly from Boone County?
No, we have a good portion of our fans from Boone, but where I bring in the legends, we actually draw people from, you know, good distances. We have people that come in from sometimes Lynchburg, Virginia. We have people that come from all over the Carolinas. We have people come from Kentucky, Ohio, just different places. As a matter of fact, the show you came to with Jim Cornette and Midnight Express, that was a big deal. You know, that was those four guys being together. We had people from Michigan, had people from Oklahoma. I mean, it was crazy. We drew a good, you know. So that's a cool thing for us. And, you know, that's what sets us apart from the other companies in the state, is where we're bringing in, you know, rare guests. You know, where they don't, we do. And, you know, they may average, you know, 80 to 100 people, and we average four, you know, sometimes 300-400, you know, whatever. So,
what do you think the importance of this event is to the Madison community, where, you know, there's maybe not too much going on, and it's hard to, you know, find money to pay for a ticket, that sort of thing?
You know, I think that is. Even the people that work in the city have told me, said, you know, hey, thank you for bringing this to this small town. These people have got nothing to look forward to here, you know, because they don't even have a movie theater here. And so, you know, they're like, oh, you know, thank you for bringing a show here where the people can come out and have a good time. And you know, you speak of money, and that is a true thing. There's, you know, people come. As a matter of fact, the Christmas show we did, people were coming in and paying for their tickets with change. So you know that they're, you know, raking what they got. And, you know, that's why every year ASW puts on a free show where we let the community come in for free. So it's kind of like we're giving back to them. And I think that that kind of shows them that we care, and they in return respect us for it and want to support us more. So, you know, I think that it's a win-win for everybody.
That's really nice. So how do you come up with storylines and kind of craft the direction of things narratively?
Mostly it's based on the guys, how they get over with the crowd. You know, when you have a guy go out and they work one or two of your shows and you see the reactions from people, then you know, okay, we could do something with him. You know, let's maybe have one of the bad guys, you know, go out and beat him up real bad and kind of get sympathy from the people that, but that's pretty much how storylines are based.
And are you kind of crafting that, or is it a collaboration with the wrestlers, or how does
that
work?
A little bit of everything. Me and my buddy that kind of works with me, me and him talk a lot. And then, too, like I say, the wrestlers have input, too. They'll say, well, hey, why don't we do this? You know, wonder if we could do this. Or, so it's kind of a mixture of everything together.
And what have been some of the most successful storylines?
The most successful storyline we've ever done here was with a guy named Rocky Rage and Shane Storm. And it started out back years ago. We had Rocky had a valet, which is a girl manager. And she went out with him. And we, of course, you know, in wrestling, you kind of portray that as, oh, that's his girlfriend. Mm-hmm. And Shane, one night she turned against Rocky and went with Shane. Well, that same night, she also cost Rocky his belt. You know, he was a champion at the time. And so that really got over. Well, then years later, you know, we kind of stopped that and went a different direction with both of the guys. Years later, we decided to rekindle that. But this time, Rocky's wife was involved. And he had gotten married through that time. And we did a thing where they had a match, and Rocky's wife went out to check on him. And while she was in the ring checking on him, Shane Storm went up behind her and kicked her in the face. And it was so real, it felt so real, that even the police went after Shane. They, like, ran after him because they thought, hey, you just kicked a lady in the face. You know, we're going to arrest you. And so I had to stop them and say, no, guys, it's, you know, part of the show. And they got mad at me. They said, well, you need to tell us anytime you do something like that, because we were going to go after him. Said, you got to tell us. Said, we saw that. And the way the crowd reaction, it was just an amazing feeling. It was like, here we are making these people believe that what we just did was real. And that was something we had talked about for weeks and weeks and weeks leading up to that. But that was one of the coolest things that we've ever done. Yeah.
The people really start to believe that it's real.
Absolutely. And there are some that still believe there is. You know, they still believe what we're doing is. And I think for the most part, most people just get lost in the show. You know, like when you watch a TV show that you love so much, you know, okay, well, we know it's a show, but we're still going to have a good time with it. Mm-hmm. But there are some people that really get upset and leave here every show, like, mad, because they think what they just witnessed was, you know, a legit thing. So that's a good thing. That shows you you're doing your job when you do that.
Right.
So.
And you have the police station right next door. Do they often come to the matches?
They're here usually every time, which we love that, because if there's ever a problem, you know, hey, they're here and they can deal with it. But, yeah, they're cool. They enjoy coming over, and they've got to where they know a lot of the guys. So that's a good thing. You know, that's good to have access to that.
Let's see. Oh, how much are storylines crafted by fans? Have you ever had to scrap something because it just didn't work with fans?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that happens quite a bit. You'll do something. You're like, okay, let's try this. and then you'll do a match or two with the guys, and the people just don't seem to be getting into it, and you're like, well, we can't keep, you know, we got three more shows scheduled with that same match in between those guys, and if people aren't getting into it, you don't want to bore them. So it's like, well, let's make that happen, you know, maybe go away and go a different direction. So, yeah, that does happen quite a bit.
What type of gimmicks for wrestlers do you see being the most popular?
Gimmicks as far as, like what?
Their persona.
You know, I have always been a fan of characters. You know, people that go out with, you know, kind of a, what you say, a gimmick. Because I think that makes them stand out. Too many guys nowadays, they just want to call themselves a name and go out and, you know, they have no character, no, you know, and it's hard for fans to really get behind these guys because it's like, well, what about you makes me want to cheer for you? You know, so you've either got to go out and do something or you've got to go out and show people, hey, look, I'm, you know, I'm going to work, you know, my hind end off here to put on a good match for you. And that does help, but you know, I've always been a fan of guys that want to be characters and, you know, have like a, you know, persona or whatever. So.
What are some examples of those characters that work really well, you think?
Well, in the big time, you know, like WWE, of course, the most successful characters was like The Undertaker, you know, because he was just, you know, different than anything anybody else had ever done. I'm trying to think. There is a guy who does a character in Ohio, and he sometimes comes around locally. His name is Jock Sampson, and he plays like a dirty redneck cowboy, you know. So that kind of – and then I met a guy a couple months ago that I really enjoyed watching, and I thought he was a cool character. He plays an Amish guy, and he lived that you were there at that show, yeah. And I thought, man, that is cool. I really like that because that's different. You know, that's not something that you would see. And he looks like a real Amish person. I mean, if you saw him out somewhere, you would think he was, you know. So that was a cool thing. But, yeah, stuff like that is stuff I'm a fan of.
Yeah, he really has to commit with the facial hair.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And he even came out with, what was that, butter?
Oh, yeah, the butter churn.
Yeah. So, yeah, I told him, I said, dude, I said, you got it going on. I said, that's awesome.
And I think the cops were called for that, too.
They were. What had happened is where it was an outdoor show, and we were right there on the streets of Charleston, probably in the bad part of Charleston, I'm not sure. But the guys were fighting out into the crowd, you know, just to kind of get, you know, a reaction. And the guy, people driving down the street, wasn't paying any attention and was looking over at the fight and smashed into the back of another car. And so there was like a little car accident out in the street. And so, yeah, that was a wild day. And it was raining,
right.
Pouring the rain.
Yeah.
The guys was out wrestling. It was definitely a nasty, wet day.
Yeah. What about characters that kind of have a cultural stereotype, like I was here for the Sheik, and then the Cuban assassin. Do you think that those are still popular? What's your thought on those type of characters?
I'm still a fan of those type of characters. Matter of fact, I'm trying to get one of the guys. I'm like, you know, go out and buy just a red, you know, like tights and put on a red mask and call yourself, you know, the Masked Russian or something. I like those type of characters. But I think in 2020, I think that's kind of considered old school, you know, because back in the 80s, that was the thing. You know, they had, of course, you know, the Iron Sheik and, you know, the people from Russia and Iran. And, you know, it was always America versus Russia. So in today's world, it's a little different. But I'm still a fan of those characters.
They seem to really inspire response.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, you know, everybody can get behind, you know, America versus Russia. You know, everybody can get behind that because it kind of instantly puts you on their side, you know.
So. Yeah, Yeah, you know who's the good guy and who's the bad guy.
Right? Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
What about like working class hillbilly characters? There's sort of like the white trash guy with ASW. Yeah. Do you still see a lot of that?
You know, you don't see too awful much of it. You know, like I say, the sad part is guys now, they just want to go out and call themselves a name. You know, oh, well, let's call ourselves just, if their name is, Derek Townsend, you know, well, let's call myself Thomas. And it's like, well, why didn't you just call yourself your regular name if you're going to change it to something weird like that? Right. But, you know, that's pretty much the basic of, you know, guys just want to go out and call themselves their names and be done with it and have no color or have no kind of, you know, like, hey, you know, look at me. Look how bright I am. You know, look at, you know, my outfit or whatever. They just go out and buy some cheap gear and go with it. But I'm still a fan of the characters. Mm-hmm. Always will be.
Yeah, it seems like in West Virginia and the region, there is that particular, like, the Jim Cornette type who insults the rednecks, that sort of thing. Do you still see some of that?
You see some of it. You know, that's what we call cheap heat. You know, it's a way for the bad guy heel to go out and, you know, if you want somebody to boo you, well, what's a better way to do that than to go out and say, hey, you're ugly, you're stupid, you know, or, you know, this town sucks, you know, that's easy way for you to instantly start getting booed. Because sometimes fans are funny. You know, people think, well, if I go out and I'm not friendly and I don't, you know, smack the hands when I go out, they're going to know that I'm the heel. But that doesn't mean they're going to boo you. You know, they might, you know, it takes, you know, a minute. You gotta do something. You have to work, you know, as we say. You have to work to get people to either get behind you one way or the other, whether good or bad.
Some of the crazy fan responses that you've, or some of the more extreme fan responses you've seen?
Oh, my gosh. We had up in Gilbert, West Virginia. Have you ever been to Gilbert, West Virginia?
Where's Gilbert?
You don't want to know. It's up in Mingo County.
Okay.
It's like, you know, I'd have to draw you a map to get there with, you know, stick figures to... But it was a really small, and we loved going there because, again, it was a town that had nothing. And they treated us like we were the WWF, you know, WWE. They thought we were the big time, you know, coming in there. So that was a cool thing. And we always drew great crowds, and the building we ran was a wonderful building. We had some coal miners that came one night. And we bought in a tag team called the Nasty Boys. And the Nasty Boys went out, and they were good guys, you know, for the night, because they're wrestling legends. They went out, and if you remember when the mine disaster had just happened and some of the coal miners had gotten killed, okay, well, they went out and they did a thing where they're like, oh, you know, our, you know, hearts and prayers are with the families of the, you know, and that was a cool thing, and everybody kind of got behind that. Well, then they bought up two guys that were sitting in ringside that were coal miners. And they said, you know, hey, we want to give these guys a hand for all the hard work they do for y'all state. You know, so it kind of gave a sentimental moment. Well, then later in the night, the heels came out, and they were just doing their regular heel stuff. You know, they didn't say anything about coal miners or anything. But because these two guys had been bought in the ring earlier, they felt now they were a part of the show. And so one of the guys got up and, you know, the guy kind of made a gesture at one of the heels, and the heel's like, oh, well, why don't you get in here and do something about it? The boy jumped in the ring before we even knew what was going on. And anytime that happens, that's critical, because it's like, okay, you just crossed the line. You come into our world, we have the right to beat you legitimately. And it all happened so quickly. I mean, that's how it was like, oh, my God. You know, we have nobody quick enough to just make a stop. But the guy jumped in the ring, and my heel went to – he tried to make it to where, like, hey, I'm going to scare you to where you're going to get out of this ring. And the guy wasn't doing it. So my guy had to run over and legit, you know, punch the guy. So that was a scary moment because you never want that to happen. We've had some instances here where there's been a few like okay, you know, we're afraid, you know, what may happen because this fan does seem to be mad. We've got a guy that comes to our show that's, you know, kind of slow. And he spit on a wrestler one night. And of course, that made the wrestler furious. I mean, it's like, okay, I'm playing my character. You spit on me. Now I'm breaking character and I'm legitimately pissed, you know. So that was, you know. But, you know, you do have some times where maybe something is said that strikes a nerve. You know, with either or, a wrestler or a fan. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes a wrestler can make a comment to a fan, and it's like, well, hey, that really happened to me. You know, how dare you say that? And we had a boy here years ago that used to come up from North Carolina, and he had made some comments to a fan. And the boy had his girlfriend. You know, you don't want to look bad in front of your girlfriend, so... During the intermission, when the wrestler was out signing autographs, the fan went over, said something to him, picked up his table, and threw it. So it's like, oh my gosh! But yeah, fans can, and wrestlers too. Fans can sometimes be crazy.
Do you have a persona when you get in the ring and talk?
The only persona I try to present. Everybody that comes to my show mostly knows who I am. And they know I'm the one that puts, you know, the shows on. So I try to portray the, you know, the owner or the boss, you know. But the only time that you'll ever see me actually partake in the show is if it calls for it. Like if we have to set up for a match or if there's a storyline going on where there needs to be an authority figure. You know, I'll play that part. But I try not to get involved too much because it's not about me. You know, it's about, you know, the guys. And I don't really want to be seen. The only thing that I do regularly on my shows is I like to make the announcements. And the reason being is because I found years ago that if you go to an event and the guy that's always in the ring talking, if he makes the announcements for your upcoming events, that's easy for you to let it go in one ear and out the other because you've seen that guy all night long talking. Mm-hmm. But if somebody new comes out and says, hey, I'm going to make some announcements, then you might be more inclined to remember that. Yeah. And that's one thing that I learned a long time ago. It's like, well, I'll go out and make the announcements because that's the most, to me, that's a very important thing. If I've got an upcoming show, the people that's already here, those are more than likely the people I need to depend on to come back next month. Mm-hmm. So it's like, hey, guys, you know, I'm breaking, you know, the monotony of having the same guy you've heard all night long talk. I'm going to come out and make my announcements and tell you when the next shows are.
Mm-hmm. Right. So I'm interested in the economics of it, and you don't have to talk specific numbers if you don't want to, but... ticket prices like $10, $10 to $15.
We do ringside $15, and general admission $13. And the only reason we started doing ringside for $15 was, you know, we have a good portion of people that want to sit in the front row, and we thought at first, well, what would be a way for us to make this work in a fair way to where, you know, hey, you know, so we said, well, we'll open doors at 5:30. And anybody that bought advance tickets can come in at 5:30 and get what seat they want. Well, that worked for a while. And then we started having people that were showing up at like noon to stand outside.
Wow.
And that's a great thing. I mean, it makes you feel wonderful. But on a day when it was like snowing and raining, there would be people already outside. And you're like, oh, my goodness, you know. And so, that became a problem because people were coming in and people were jumping line and getting in front of other people. And the people that had been here all day waiting were getting upset because it's like, well, hey, he just got here. So it's like, okay, we're going to have to do this another way. We're just going to have ringside seats, $15. People can pay the extra $2 to get what seat they want, or they can come at regular time and sit wherever else they can sit. So that's been working out decently better since we started doing that.
And what about wrestler pay, and is it profitable for you, and have you seen sort of a rise in what you're bringing in?
We have, and as far as wrestler pay goes, of course it's based on their how far away they are, and it's based on their stature, in wrestling, as is in anything in the entertainment world. It's always based on your popularity, how many tickets you're going to sell, blah, blah, blah. But an independent wrestler really doesn't make a lot of money. They might make 40, 50 bucks at best. And the reason being, it's not that, the people are, it's just you have so many people on your, and guys love doing it. So, a lot of their intake is selling T-shirts and selling, that helps them out. Mm-hmm. As far as a promoter goes, when I first started, it was a lot of, I would spend a lot more than what I would bring in. And it's, because you have the love for doing what you're doing. And but over the years, and now I've got 3 sponsors that help me out. So that has been a tremendous help. And as far as the rise, we have seen a rise in, popularity of wrestling right now is pretty good. Wrestling is pretty popular. It goes through that spell where sometimes it'll be slow and, not really much is talked about, and then it's like, okay, wrestling's hot again. And, just like anything else, but the last couple years we've seen our attendance rise, and one of the reasons I give credit for that is bringing in the rare guest where people will come, hey, I've always wanted to meet this guy, I'm going to go to that show, they have such a good time. Well, hey, we're going to come back next month. We're going to bring our cousin with us next month, or our friend, or our family. So that helps. Anytime you grow with something, that's kind of stuff that you need.
Mm-hmm. And the sponsors, aside from Stephen P. New, who are the other two?
I actually have a church that sponsors us every month, and they give us a donation, but they love wrestling, and they feel that coming and having a table and passing out cards with their service times on it, they feel that that is kind of like connecting with the community. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what they judge it on. It's mm-hmm. like, well, we're going to sponsor. People might think, well, why is a church wanting to sponsor a wrestling show? I mean, what would they? But that's the way that pastor looks at it, because he's a good guy. He's a young guy, mm-hmm. and he loves wrestling. And he's like, well, hey, this is our way of connecting with the community. And honestly, since they started coming here, they've gained like 3 or 4 members to their church. So they have, it has been successful for them. And then I have a State Farm agent, Scotty Brown, and he sponsors us. And the church is New Haven Church, by the way. Mm-hmm. And the pastor's name is Josh Robinson. Mm-hmm. But Scotty Brown, he's been a big help to us. So, and again, he came one night and bought his kids, and he's like, hey, I want to be a part of this. This is a great thing. Can I sponsor you? And so that has been a blessing for me, because it's like, hey, I didn't have to go out and get a sponsor. They came to me. So the same way with Steve New, he came to me and he's like, hey, I want to help you, because he's a fan of what we do. We bring in a lot of guys he likes. And he likes the old school, type of. And he sees that we're putting on, and again, I know this might sound a little rough, but my show is so different than anybody else's. And because we just have a different feel here. We have a good feel. We have a good vibe. We have structure. We have professionalism, a lot of wrestling. And if you go and see other shows, you'll see what I'm talking about. There's just so much that it's like they just don't care. And they, we're going to rent this building and have some matches scheduled. And whatever happens, happens. And they'll let the guys go out and cuss. And the guys will go out there and you know, say awful things, do vulgar stuff, and, you know, it just doesn't turn out too well. And here we really stress, you know. So, you know, I think is what people see, and they're like, hey, they're putting on a good show there. We're going to, you know, hey, I'm going to, and that's what happened with Steve New, is I knew Steve from back in 2004, so I knew him, and I never thought about asking him to sponsor us, you know, because you don't want to bum somebody for money. That's the hardest thing in the world, is to go up to somebody and say, hey, can you have me, give me some money? So it's like, you know, he came one night, and he's like, hey, I'm going to start, you know, sponsoring you, and I want to be a part of what you're doing. And that was awesome. Yeah. A great thing.
And, yeah, it's probably one of the few big community events here.
It is. You know, like I say, when we come to town, people know that we're here. And I hear a lot of people out talking, and they're like, oh, when is the wrestling coming back to the Civic Center? When will they? So they know we're here often. And we try to come once a month, but, you know, sometimes we do take a month off, which is usually good because a lot of times you need a break, you know. And there are certain months out of the year that I have found that are not successful. You know, the month of July is usually not a good month. People are on vacation. I don't like the month of September, and I don't know why, but that seems to be the deadest month. I mean, it's just like people just don't want to come to anything. I work in the movie theater, too, and that is also a dead month for movies. It's just, I don't know if it's where people are going back to school and people just don't want to, but yeah, month of September is a dead month.
Yeah, for sure.
Hello. About how many more questions you got there, huh?
Just two or three.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just two or three more questions, so probably in the next maybe 10, 15 minutes. Alrighty, see you in a few. Love you. Bye-bye. Sorry about that. I should turn my phone off.
Oh, that's okay. How is live wrestling different from what's on TV, or how is ASW different from WWE, WWF? What do the wrestlers have to do differently?
And when you come to a live show, of course, you can feel the excitement and you can feel the vibe from people. And, you know, hearing the ring, you know, hit, you know, it in person, it, to me, I always thought that was cool. You know, you watch it on TV and you don't really pay no attention to that. But when you're here and you hear the guys, you know, smacking the ring, or their bodies, you know, hit the ring, it's like, oh, wow, that sounded pretty brutal. You know, and again, like being around other wrestling fans that love, you know, and the excitement that they're feeling, you know, it kind of rubs off, and it's like a, you know, like an assembly line or whatever. But I think that's the importance of a live show, is you get more out of it. And as far as ASW and the bigger, you know, like WWE, you know, we, at an indie show like what we do, the fans actually get to go up and meet the guys. Whereas in WWE, you know, you're sitting in the crowd, you're sitting up in the bleachers, you see the guy walk out from the back, go to the ring, wrestle, and go back to the back, and that's as much as you see of him. But here, you know, we bring in the big names, you know, the legends, former WWE stars. You can actually walk up, shake their hand, talk to them, get a picture with them, an autograph, whatever. And Air Guy's the same. They're always out here meeting people, talking with them. And that is a big, big help as far as building your popularity, because that makes, like I say, if you go to a show and the wrestler remembers talking to you from the last show, then that makes you feel, well, hey, he's not just a wrestler, he's my friend, you know. I think that's an important thing.
Have you seen more interest from women wrestlers here?
Here lately we have. Like I say, with the popularity of wrestling right now, it's really, you know, amazing to see the people that are coming out and wanting to be a part and see, you know. And I've actually had women to call me before and say, hey, we come to your show because we've had a bad week. We've had a lot of stress and anger. And coming to your show, we get to cuss at somebody, which, you know, the fans get to do whatever they want. The wrestlers can't do that, but the fans can. But I had one lady tell me, she said, I get to come and it lets off my stress and my anger. Said I can get up and scream and holler and hoop, you know, badmouth the bad guys when they come out. And that's a good thing because it's like a stress reliever. Right. So that's a cool thing.
Yeah. I like that. So, yeah, what do you think is particular about independent wrestling in West Virginia? Like the history or why it's so popular? What is unique in West Virginia?
I think with West Virginia, it's where, you know, it's a country state, and, you know, wrestling is probably something that is looked at as, you know, kind of like, you know, high school football or whatever. You know, it's something that, you know, people love going to and just getting involved with and getting to scream. And like I said, and, you know, partake in, you know, being a fan. And wrestling has always been big in West Virginia, you know, not just with the local scene, but all of the big companies come through here. I mean, actually, this building we're sitting in right now has got a lot of wrestling history. Back in the day, the early 80s, I'm sure you've heard of Randy Macho Man Savage. Mm-hmm. You know, his family used to run this building. And they would come here on Wednesday nights. And they would I've got some of the old posters back in the room there. I have to show you sometime. But they used to come here, and they would run big, big shows. And I think back in those days, tickets was like $4. And so, you know, but guys like Randy Macho Man Savage have been in this building and wrestled. And who knew he was going to go on that years later and become a big celebrity.
Oh, so at this point he was just a local wrestler?
He was just a local wrestler traveling with his family, you know. His dad used to be a promoter, and he used to run his own company. And they would go to West Virginia. They would go to Kentucky. They would go to the tri-state areas or whatever you call it, you know. Madison Civic Center was one of the stops for them, you know.
Are there some famous wrestlers from West Virginia?
There are a few. Let's see. Jamie Noble from WWE has been in West Virginia. He's from West Virginia. Matter of fact, I think he still lives here. I know he comes home a lot, and I know his kids are from here. Okay. Heath Slater, who is on TV right now, he's from West Virginia. Trying to think if there's any more. Those are the two that comes to mind right off that I know are from West Virginia.
What do you think the future is for ASW?
Well, truthfully, I mean, you never know. I mean, but I'm just happy doing what we're doing. You know, if it's meant for us to stay here in this community and just run our shows, hey, I'll be the happiest person alive. You know, as long as we can continue running here in this town, because we love Madison, and Madison's been good to us. So, you know, we enjoy the people, and we love the building. You know, this building was made for wrestling. I mean, you can just, the way that the back area is, it's just like it was perfect for a wrestling show. So we, and you know, it's a good atmosphere here, and it's a nice clean building. So we love Madison. But you know, I mean, if the opportunity ever came where we could get like a TV spot or something like that, that would be wonderful. But you never know. You just never know.
Well, do you have anything else you'd like to add?
Well, I just, you know, anybody listens or whatever, I hope that they would come out and support us one of these times. You know, we bring in a lot of the big names, a lot of the legends, and we've got a great roster of local guys that wrestle for us every month. And, you know, come out to see the legends, but get invested and become a fan of our guys. That's what our focus is. You know, we want you to come to meet the big stars, but we want you to leave wanting to come back to see our guys. So that's kind of the key to it.
Great. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'm going to...